I'm not gonna start recording yet. I mean, I'll record maybe 5 minutes out. I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes we just get too much. Well, I guess I could always. Okay, so you can start doing this. Admitting people. Okay.
Ah, hey there.
Hi.
How you doing, Smokey?
Oh, pretty good.
No audio from you.
No audio? Should be on.
No, still no audio coming from you. Your mic's muted, I guess.
Shouldn't be, it's turned on.
Where do I do that? Oh, he's got it.
You hear me now?
Down on your, let's see.
Right.
Left.
On your lower left of the screen should be something where you click on where it says mute.
Microphone.
Or unmute, like microphone. It might look like a microphone. Yeah, because your microphone shows it's muted. So just click on it. Click on that red symbol with the line through it. That looks like a microphone. There you go.
Okay. You hear me now?
Be on. Hang on. I'm not hearing you yet, but that symbol went away.
Is your audio on?
Oh, my audio.
Okay.
Now we hear you.
Okay.
Okay, good. You know what? Ours was off too, but yeah, now we're both figured out. That's funny.
I'm just glad I got internet now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's great.
Excellent.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah.
So you're all set for the holidays?
As set as I'm going to be.
Yeah. That's with us too.
I just kind of wish it was all over with already.
That's usually how it works out. Yeah.
Well, usually comes and goes pretty fast.
Yeah, you wait for it to get here and then you can't wait till it leaves.
That's right. Then you get to start all over again at the end of the month.
Yeah,
I just got all my grandkids stuff sent out yesterday, and I made three big boxes like this of cookies that I sent to three different homes, and two of them being my kids. So yay, they got to have mom's cookies for Christmas, you know.
Yeah, we used to send stuff out too, but my brother passed away last month.
Oh, sorry.
And his wife 3 days later.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like it was a very happy marriage for the other one to not last long after the one was gone.
Yeah. Well, my brother was 9 years older than me, so he was 83. So, and his wife, I think, was kind of close to my wife's age, probably about 70 or 60 something.
Yeah. Oh man, that's sad.
But they were back in St. Louis in Missouri, and I said, I can't go back there. And my nephew called me and told me about it, and he said, yeah, he's buried at the military cemetery. So,
Man. Oh.
Nobody can, with this pandemic stuff that's going on, nobody could see them anyway. I mean, they cremated.
Exactly.
Put them in the ground.
Yeah. And that's just what my dad, he's 95 and he's still around. And, you know, I haven't seen him for a whole year because of this.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Hey, Dave. Kay's still signing in. Hey, Brad.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, David.
All right.
Okay.
You got picture and video, right?
That's right. We got it both. All.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, are you going to
read the minutes?
Read the minutes, because Bill's not going to be here.
Finishing the sentences. Sorry. Yeah, David, are you going to read the minutes?
I didn't know I was supposed to.
Well, I didn't say you're supposed to, but well, Bill's not. Bill Conrad's not going to be here.
Connor.
Connor, I mean, Bill Connor.
I'd have to go over to my other computer and find them and print them up.
Well, I guess I could do that.
Well,
I don't have the minutes here.
Let me see if I have notes from last week.
Oh, that's all right. I'll get them. I got them right here. I'll just print it up.
Minutes.
Oh yeah, I forgot I did that.
Has Garth checked in?
No.
Not yet.
Okay, and John probably won't be here.
Great. Okay. Well, he says he's gonna try to do it remotely, right?
Oh, that's right.
He should have no problem with that. I mean, as long as he gets internet. Okay, we're printing them up.
Oh, thank you. How's construction going up there on the Basin Road?
Oh, it's horrible. It's just horrible. I had to go to the post office twice yesterday, so you can imagine.
Yeah, I talked to Mary. I think you guys have Mary as your mail carrier.
I think so.
Number 83, yeah. She said it added about another 20 minutes onto her route because... You know, she comes and does the north part first, then she has to go all the way back around to start up.
Well, that's not that much time added on. 20 minutes is feasible, but it's the for us who have to go in and out of this place. I mean, they just reroute their route.
Right.
You know, because I was a school bus driver. You just reroute your route when there's road closure. But, you know, for those who live up here... And have to make errands to the store, you just start dispatching yourself to go to these four places this time, you know.
With the construction and then, you know, the additional mail for the holidays, she doesn't get over here till like 4:30, 4:45.
Good morning. We have our Boy Scout sponsor guy here. Yay. Oh, and Jim just came in too. So.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so James Monroe, huh? Nice to meet you. I'm Kathy. You're muted, which you probably know that. And I am webmaster. This is Dave, who just put his hand up there. He's vice president of the club. And Jim, raise your hand.
I'm the oldest guy in the club.
He's the one that got us to find you. Yay, thanks for doing that.
Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I never forgot it.
That's great. Yeah, I was a Girl Scout, so I have my things I remember too.
And what is that, Jim?
Well, I was a Cub Scout, actually. It's not the oath. It's the, I forget what it's called. How about the litany of things that a Boy Scout should be? What is it?
Well, stick around. You'll find out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Now I'm letting Tom in, so you can get your answer, actually, Jim, because I just let Tom in.
I remember the Cub Scout salute is two fingers, and the Boy Scout salute is three fingers, unless that's changed. And we wouldn't even think of having girls in our group.
Boys club only.
Well, of course, that was years ago.
Right on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So Tom, you should meet James here, unless you actually were the one that got him to come here. No, I think it was Jim.
Say again,
what? Straight from the Boy Scouts. James Monroe here on our screen. He's with Boy Scouts. He's here today.
Yes, I see James there. Yeah, good morning, James.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
Just
morning,
fine, thanks.
Steve. Morning, Garth.
Everything okay at the house there?
I think so.
Right. I heard the other night that there was a little issue going on, so hopefully that's been resolved.
Oh, with regards to the flooding?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. We managed to divert the water, so it's now drying out.
I have an inside source, so.
Oh, yes, you do.
I think we're all going to get involved in flooding here in maybe shortly. At least that's the thought. There's a great big green spot on the weather map that's supposed to hang around for a few days, and it'll be something akin that would float the ark, I guess. So we're likely to see that. I'm thinking of going out and getting a boat.
Yeah.
We live on this on the Skycomish.
Morning, Eric.
Lure Street Bridge.
Yeah, a houseboat is a really great idea these days, don't you think?
Well.
So you always got a place to float.
Yeah, really.
You go maritime mobile.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep.
Huh. Hey, Bruce, Carl mentioned to me the other day that he borrowed equipment from SIRS so that he can tune up those cans for you.
Oh, that would be great. Excellent. Yeah.
I know right now our big project is these four coupe trailers, we call them, that we're building up. So that's where most of all of our effort is going right now. So, it'll probably be on the back burner for a little bit.
Okay.
But he's definitely, you know, taking steps.
Okay, that's great.
He says he's going to use it for practice because when we replace the Granite Falls repeater, he says those cans need to be tweaked.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, well, but the way the weather is, I can't. The only thing I'm going to probably do is try and get down to the container again and look at the 6-meter repeater. It's transmitting okay, but it doesn't seem to be receiving. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I got to figure out what's going on there.
Always something, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God, Chris McDonald.
Too. Chris McDonald, I know. Are you in the right place, Chris McDonald?
Well, good morning.
Good morning. It's been a while. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Karen.
Bill, I thought you weren't going to be here.
Yeah.
Trip fell through. The river's all blown out. We can't fish it.
Oh.
Here we go.
So you're charmed with my presence.
Okay. I want to go fishing.
You just wait until the fish start swimming across the road. Yeah. And you just grab them.
Yeah, I've seen that down to Skokomish.
Yeah.
We're waiting for it for them to float past our front yard. That's what we're looking at the moment.
Well, in Issaquah, when I drove school bus for Issaquah years ago, there was a guy there that worked for us too, and his backyard, he lived out in High Point off I-90 at just the first exit, and it's like the second driveway from that exit, and he had the salmon dropping into his backyard.
We would
stand back there and look, and you could see the salmon jumping up out of the water and stuff, and it's like, Does the state know this ends in your yard? I mean, I just couldn't even believe it.
Well, it's not winter until they show the TV footage of salmon swimming across the street. So
yeah. Oh man, yeah, I kind of wished I had at least a net to grab one at that moment. Man.
Yeah,
sounds like an Eagle Scout project there, you know, filling sandbags and helping with the flooding and
all. Well, that was his for him that was his normal. That was not just a fluke that it flooded his yard. It was always like that. So, wow.
Well, it looks like it's time to start here. So good morning, everybody. And welcome all to the Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club monthly meeting. I'm Garth, President K7BVS, and I'm going to be running the meeting again. Thanks to Dave for taking over last month. I wasn't able to make it. But let's start with introductions. Maybe your name, call sign, and let's do which city you're in. And I'll do them as I see them here on my screen. So I'll start with Bruce and Kathy.
Bruce, W7BCW in North Sultan.
Kathy, K7THY, North Sultan.
All right. And I'm in Sultan too, so. Next up, it looks like Smokey, you're going by Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club today.
Finally made it. Finally got the internet. That is Smokey, KJ7HSJ, Snohomish County.
All right. And looks like David, KB7GFL.
David, KB7GFL, Club Vice President in Sultan.
All right. And then we have Brad.
Brad, KE7EOF from Monroe.
Looking very festive with your background there. So. Next up, Ernie.
Ernie, W7EDA in Monroe.
Okay. And Jim.
Jim, KI7WXT in Monroe.
All right. Tom?
Tom, K8DOM in Monroe.
Okay. And looks like Steve. And Steve is muted.
That's weird. It doesn't show that it's muted.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, so, Steve, your mic isn't hooked up or something.
Yeah, he is muted.
That's weird.
I don't know.
You are muted. The bottom left corner, did you uncheck that?
Yeah, it's not showing. It's just his mic.
Now it comes in and goes, the red microphone.
I think he's trying to make it work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speak up, Steve.
Can't hear you from here.
You have to push the talk button.
There we go. All right. Well, we can see your name and call there. But okay. So Eric,
use Morse.
Morse.
Eric Robbins, K7QOG, just north of Linwood in Snohomish County.
Right. And Bill.
Bill, KE7WTR in Gold Bar.
All right, Karen.
Karen, KI7HP in Arlington.
All right, Diane.
Diane, KE6JRP in Gold Bar.
All right, and Chris.
Chris, N7KDM in Monroe.
All right, good to see you again. And our very special guest, James Monroe.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. November 7, Yankee Echo Bravo, Lake Stevens.
All right. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I think we'll just dive right in here with James, if you're ready. Oh, hey, there you are, Steve.
Can you hear me?
You're ready.
Oh, technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Steve Snohomish, N7SRR.
All right. Glad it's working now. All right, yeah. So, James, you were going to talk to us about scouting and radio and all that fun stuff.
I am. Thank you. Will I be able to share my screen?
I can give you that. Let's see. Let's see. Maybe. Allow to record. Where is that?
Next to my name, perhaps, when you click on the list of participants.
Yeah, I'm looking. So I've got, let's see, mute, stop video chat, rename, pin, spotlight, allow to record, remove.
Are you the host?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Who can share? There we go. I think I just allowed it screen sharing here.
Yep, I got it.
You got it now? Okay. Go ahead and give it a shot.
Thank you.
I like your sweater, Garth.
Thank you. I was trying to be festive too.
Or actually, I don't. It's ugly, right? You're
supposed to. That's the point. There we go.
Well, good morning. Thank you. I'm here today representing the Pilchuck District of the Boy Scouts of America, and I'll explain a little bit about that momentarily. But just to give you a little bit of background myself, as noted, my call sign is November 7, Yankee Echo Bravo. And I've been active in the scouting movement as an adult leader since 2001, when my oldest son joined Cub Scouting in first grade, way back when. I was a scout as a youth, as I'm sure many of you were. And I've already heard from one young lady who said she was also a Girl Scout. So scouting has been around for a number of years and has had a huge impact on our country. So when my boys aged up, they joined Boy Scouting, and I continued to be active. And then there's the transition, which I'll explain here in a couple minutes, to Scouts BSA. And then I volunteer also at our district level, which is in the region. So just waiting for my screen to catch up here. There we go. The mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make moral and ethical choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and Scout Law. We already heard a recitation of the Scout Law a few minutes ago. That has not changed, and neither has the oath, which has three tenets basically about on your honor, helping others, and being ready at all times. So the aims of scouting include character development, citizenship training, and physical fitness. And everything scouting does has one or more of those elements. Scouting was founded back in the early 1900s and by a gentleman from England who found during his time in the British Army that a lot of the young recruits weren't able to take care of themselves out in the wild, so to speak. And so he developed a program to train them in a variety of outdoor skills, including scouting, looking ahead and taking care of themselves and things like that. And he wrote a book about it. And when he returned to England, he was met by tons of young boys who had gotten a copy of that book and wanted to learn more. So, and the story goes that a gentleman from our country had been visiting England and got lost in the fog and was encountered by a young man who was a scout who helped the gentleman find his way. And the gentleman wanted to tip him, as was the custom back in those days. And the young man refused, stating he was a scout. So Mr. Boyce brought that concept back to America, and in 1910, with a couple other gentlemen, founded the Boy Scouts of America. And the way it works today is that the national organization charters local regional councils. And so our council is the Mount Baker Council, which serves the five north counties here, Snohomish, Skagit, Whatcom Island, and San Juan. And within those, as across the country, they work with local organizations as the chartered partners who really own and operate the individual scouting programs. So those could be service clubs, such as yourself, or veterans fraternities, faith-based organizations, could be school-based organizations as well, so the PTAs or their derivatives. So, and the scouting programs include Cub Scouting, Scouts BSA, Venturing, which includes Sea Scouts, and Explorer Scouting. Explorer Scouting is a program designed for older teenagers, ages 14 through 20, who want to learn more about a specific job or task or career. For example, in Monroe, where the Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue is now based, They've sponsored a Explorer program for young men and women who want to learn about the fire service. There's another Explorer program up in Arlington based at the hospital. So kids that want to learn about careers in the medical field can participate in that program. And the variety of exploring programs is as far and wide and varied as there are kinds of jobs and industries. So people that want to learn about anything can really put together a program like that. Sea Scouting and Venturing. Sea Scouting has been around almost as long as Boy Scouts. But those are part of the older teen program, again, 14 through age 20. Venturing is designed for kids who really want to ramp up their prior scouting experience, either Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts. And they could have a specifically themed-based reason to be together, like video gaming. Yes, that was a thing a few years ago. Shooting sports. Maybe they want to do only mountain climbing or snow skiing or whatever, so they could focus only on that. That's their thing. Or there could be a broad variety of things that they want to explore and learn more about. So, and Sea Scouting is part of that. So we have several Sea Scout programs here in the area, one in Edmonds, a couple in Everett, and one in Bellingham, I believe. We are looking at putting together something here in our area as well. So, you know, maybe when the rivers aren't flooding or something, we could do a river-based Sea Scout program. So, so that's what the background of scouting is. Computer's a little slow. Hold on, bear with me a second. There we go. So here, the councils are broken further down into districts, and ours is called the Pilchuck District. Our council went through a reorganization last year, partly due to downsizing of membership and budget cuts. And so now the Pilchuck District serves Eastern Snohomish County, Northern Snohomish County, Camano Island, and Skykomish. And it's really just an administrative arm of the council. Within that, there's a volunteer district committee that helps support the adults, the men and women that provide the mentorship and leadership to the kids in the various programs. A major core of those volunteers at the district level are called commissioners, and they're really folks that have learned a lot about the program, and they want to mentor the new leaders and answer their questions and help them be the best that they can be for their kids and their programs. So some other primary functions of a district are membership development. So helping families find programs that suit their needs, as well as recruiting potentially new chartered partners. There's a lot of support out there in the various communities. So they're also responsible for providing some financial support for the council. That doesn't mean they individually support it, which they can. They're welcome to do that, but also seek those supporters in the communities that believe in the aims and methods and the mission of the program. So, and program support, activities, civic service, advancement recognition, the outdoor program, which is camping primarily, and then training. Every scout deserves a trained adult. So that's the primary functions of a district. So, and Boy Scouts of America is a fairly comprehensive youth protection policy, and it's been used as a model for other organizations. The basic tenet is that there's never one-on-one contact between a scout and a non-relative adult. So you're never alone with another another person's child, and that's really to protect the adult leader. We require that they go through that refresher training every year. A lot of jobs do that as well for a variety of reasons. So this is an absolute requirement, and that's that. It's an absolute requirement. So there's position-specific training for all adults. Most of that is available online nowadays. So, you know, families are busy, especially young families, and they don't necessarily have time to go in somewhere for a 2 or 3 hour review session. They can do it, you know, as their time requires online, and be done. So And then scouting also offers a lot of supplemental training, including a multi-day leadership development course that's often used by Fortune 500 companies for thousands of dollars more than what a volunteer might have to pay. So, and those skills are used, you know, in a person's life outside of scouting. Yes, believe it or not, as Tom can attest, there is life outside of scouting. So in the Sky Valley, there is a Cub Scout pack, a Boy Scout troop, and a venturing crew in Monroe. They're chartered by the Monroe Baptist Church, very active in the community there. And then there's also, as I mentioned, the exploring program at Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue. So that currently totals about 60 scouts. And then in Sultan, there's a Cub Scout pack and a Boy Scout troop chartered by the VFW Lodge for about 20 scouts. So scouting's alive and well in the valley. Over the years, we've involved folks out of Skykomish and Index. And, you know, there's a way to get scouting out there. We just got to reach those families and show them that there are definitely benefits to the program for them. So where does that leave the Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club? Well, there is a Radio Merit Badge, and we're always looking for Merit Badge counselors. We don't have any for that Merit Badge in the Valley. There's only a handful here in Snohomish County. I'm one of them. There's about three or four other people here in the county. So if you're interested in that, we'd certainly welcome the opportunity to do that. Merit Badge is a way for a young person to learn about a specific topic. There are over 130 of these merit badges, and we've had one person in our area earn them all, and that would be your own Tom's son, Davey. He earned 138 of them, I think it was 8 years ago, Tom. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's about right. Yeah.
Was done. What was that?
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. So
that is impressive.
Yeah, it is. And they run the gamut, you know, really literally from A to Z. As a young person wants to earn the rank of Eagle, which is the top rank in scouting, then they are required to earn a minimum number of merit badges, 21 currently. And 12 of those have to be specific subject items. So first aid and personal management and things that they have to take care of themselves. Then there's some others where they have to take care of others. They also have to learn you know, about communications, and that runs a wide gamut of things as well. There's also citizenship merit badges in the community, in the nation, and around the world. So what does that involve? So there's, like I said, 130 some odd subjects nowadays, and every one of them has a counselor the young person has to go to and say, hey, I want to learn about this. And the counselor says, okay, here's the requirements, let's go over them, and then you come back to me when you feel you're ready to discuss them. And that's really how it goes. I should add that originally, scouting or the Boy Scouts of America was for boys only. And then the venturing program, which started around the year 2000, was co-ed. So we've had girls in scouting for a number of years. But then the National Council and the board changed the membership's requirements and allowed girls in Cub Scouting 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and then admitted girls in the Boy Scout program, which is ages 11 through 18, and they changed it to Scouts BSA. So in February of last year, February 1st, the girls were allowed to join and become scouts at that level. And then we had a young lady out of Marysville earn the rank of Eagle just last month. We're excited for her. She'll be one of the first girls across the country to earn that. So when a young person wants to earn the rank of Eagle, then in addition to doing the merit badges, there's also a bunch of other requirements. A gentleman mentioned earlier about a service project. And that is something that a person puts together and manages and guides others in doing a service for the community, whether that's you know, at a faith-based organization or a county park or a city park or you know, some other way to give back to the community. But the key is that the individual is leading others doing it, not doing it him or herself. So that's just a kind of simple overview. Some of the other events that the amateurs could help out in is our Cub Scout Day Camp. I had a meeting a couple of nights ago with our key leadership for our area, and somebody brought up, hey, they could come out to day camp. And I said, well, that's certainly something they could do if they were willing. Jamboree on the Air is a scout event held every October. Just exactly what it is. Radio stations get set up and they could talk to their fellow scouts around the world. So if that's something that your club is interested in, we have other activities throughout the year as well. And of course, Field Day is a big activity in amateur radio. So that's something that you know, we could tie in and get scouts to partner with you folks on and go from there. So. So let's talk about the Radio Merit Badge. Basically, this is a kind of quick overview of what the requirements are. Explaining what radio is, sketch how radio waves travel, talk about stations WWV and WWVH, explain the differences between a local station and a distant station, what's the FCC and how does it differ from the ITU, draw a spectrum and label the portions thereof, explain how radio waves carry information, draw a block diagram of a station, and discuss the various modulations. How does NOAA weather radio help us? Explain how a cellular telephone works, the limitations and benefits thereof. Safety precautions, always a big one in almost every merit badge. Visit a radio station, whether it's an amateur, a broadcast, or a public communication center. In our case, it would be a Snowpack or Snowcom, now it's called. Also learn about careers in radio. That's a big one for many of the merit badges to learn about careers. And I should go on to say that our studies have shown over the years that many scouts go into careers specifically because of information they learn through a merit badge, or they develop hobbies and retain those for their lives because of information learned through a merit badge. And then the last requirement is the individual chooses one of these four topics and dives into that a little further. There's five or six additional requirements, and they can do them all if they want, but they're only required to do one of those four. So there's a broad breadth of information in the Radio Merit Badge as well as all merit badges. So if you want to become a counselor, there's a simple application to fill out. Basically, you just have your contact information there, and then you can list the merit badge. And then, you know, why do you feel you're qualified to lead a young person through earning that merit badge? So in your case, you're all licensed. So that's a step right there to go with. And you're not limited to only doing five. We have many folks that do more than that, and they're available. The time requirement, that's really up to you. A person would reach out to you and say, you know, Mr. Smith, I would like to work on this radio or this merit badge, and are you available? And yeah, it might be one or two scouts a year, might be a couple of years before you hear from anybody. So, and it's just, you know, how you work on that. Of course, you'll have to take youth protection training. That's available online. And then you'd submit that application into our council office, and we'd have somebody follow up with you on that. So anyway, that's just kind of a quick overview. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. My question is there anything already implemented with scouts where they are used in possibly assisting training of groups like kids in school. Because I'm wondering, to get scouts involved in something like that, if you're in a school teaching kids subjects, you know, like emergency evacuations or different things like that, it seems that kids tend to maybe listen to other kids talk about it instead of adults. And so if scouts were in schools and were trained, you know, like your selective ones that want to go into this kind of work of educating and training other people, there could be something set up at schools where they have assemblies and they go through and teach emergency things in your own home as a kid, what you can do to help get through issues, and, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Is there anything like that already implemented?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's very true. Younger kids tend to learn from older kids better than us. So we definitely use that to our advantage. A lot of schools already have those kind of safety lessons built in. And they often bring in outside agencies such as the fire department or police department to supplement those safety lessons. And I know a lot of schools use scouts, use their core of scouts that are in the school for a variety of reasons as well, especially during like Veterans Day assemblies and other things. So the school's leadership teams are well aware of scouting in their own little community. I'm not aware of any specific teaching of these scouts on those lessons in the school setting. That's often done in the scout setting, where, like, for example, a Boy Scout troop will send boys to a Cub Scout pack and help them with some of those lessons, whether it's safety or otherwise. So the model's there, yeah.
Okay, so they're actually helping other scouts, but I'm talking about being, you know, in this level, sure, where you're the educator of kids. Because I put together a huge safety assembly years ago on riding school bus safely for kindergartners, mm-hmm, and presented it to all the elementary schools in the district. And I tell you, there's really a need for getting on the level with these kids and talking something other than an education book thing in a school, you know,
right, to
bring in other educational issues.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just thought that would be great, because a lot of kids look up to mentors like that, to where, yep, that could also help bring them into the,
yeah,
learning system now.
If you still have that curriculum, I'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, I got an A+ on it, so that was really great. It was a 7-minute video, because that's the attention span of a kindergartner.
Well, that was back then.
That was back then, yes, yes. Now it's probably, what, 2 minutes?
I'd argue that it's shorter than that.
Yep, there you go.
It seems to me that what would work well is if the person that's doing the presentation, organizing it, in this case it was you, Kathy, would reach out. You know, they're probably, like James says, they're probably aware of scouts that are available in their school or their school system. And so they can contact either, probably best to contact the district, maybe the council, and ask about the involvement of scouts. Or if they know of the pack, then they can go to the scoutmaster or whomever and say, we're going to do so-and-so. Would it be okay? But if they know the scouts, they can just talk to the scouts, they, right, which they probably would, and get their participation. Most scouts, I'm sure, would be, you know, glad to help.
The general
attitude of scouts is truly to be, you know, available and of service. So I think that would be, they might be a little bit worried about public speaking, but then again, well, we all are.
Which this is a good education for that, but also the fact that a lot of choices of words that adults use are not quite what the kids get into, you know, taking in. And so, you know,
right,
to have their age talking to them and getting, sure, using the words they use that gets, yeah, understood. And if the kids that give these classes you know, would meet with adults in their classes where they go through all this stuff, and then the kids can bring it to their schools and further that education out from right. that. And, yep. you know, with those that are real serious that want to get into that kind of a,
The median is the message, as Marshall McLuhan says. So yeah. in this case, the medium would be the Boy Scout, as opposed, and that is the message. You know, that's what translates.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, thanks for listening.
Looks like question. Jim has a question.
Hey,
Jim.
I had my hand raised there Zoom-wise. So just showing off that I know the system here. A couple of comments. One is who is currently doing the training for Radio Merit Badge isn't it Danil who is our Pilchuck district lead guy?
Danil is a paid professional and he actually works for us. So he's just the district director. He's not the trainer.
Okay.
There isn't really training for a merit badge. There is an orientation, which is online. So you'd be asked to review that. And then the training is really just being familiar with the material in the merit badge pamphlet, which we can get from the scout, the trading post there in Everett. And then just your general knowledge, of course, of the subject matter, really. So
whom I have to tell you, I although I have the lead in, and actually it was Danil. Danil's a Kiwanis, Monroe Kiwanis.
Yeah, we're not holding that against them. So I'm a Rotarian. So
there is this competition, as it were.
No. Nope.
You don't think so? So it's a matter of contacting, say. Is it Danil or is it somebody within the, or is it you, James?
Well, I could be your point person for the moment. We do have a volunteer advancement and recognition chair for our district. So he'd be the guy to reach out to.
All right. Well, this is a first contact, I guess. I am not going to be one of the volunteers to lead this effort. Everybody will in this group probably recognizes why, but I'll tell you, and that is, I'm an entry-level technician type guy, and I barely know which end of the radio that I'm supposed to speak into. So I'm not the guy to lead this as such, or lead anybody else for that matter. And as a matter of fact, when you went through the things related to what a scout learns as far as the Radio Merit Badge, I was very interested in taking the training. I mean, look at what you've got there. I mean, that, you know, the best we've got is to prepare for the technician level training, and you got to read the books and the material and look up ARRL's stuff and what have you. And geez, that's pretty heavy for beginners.
Yeah.
But that Radio Merit Badge stuff is right at the basic level. It gives you the whole layout and what have you. And I'd love to take the orientation and get one of the books and what have you. Maybe we could make this a reciprocal deal here where we beginners can actually learn something from you.
Yeah, definitely. And every council, well, not every council, most councils have a scout camp that they operate for the summer for kids to come out and spend their week or more at camp, and a lot of the staff are kids themselves. So the Mount Baker Council operates Fire Mountain Scout Camp in Skagit County. It's just east of Big Lake, right up Highway 9 there. The camp that is based right up off of Woods Creek Road here in Snohomish County is actually operated by the Chief Seattle Council. That's Camp Pigott and the associated Camp Edward, which is focused for Cub Scouts. I have a huge in there, so to speak, because I work there. So we'd love to have you guys come out there too as well. We've actually offered the Radio Merit Badge in that summer camp setting there at Camp Pigott. So if any of your members would be willing to facilitate that, we can talk about that, you know, at another time. But Jim's right. There's a lot of material, and it's all in that Merit Badge pamphlet. So even if you're not well-versed in the radio knowledge, you could still be a counselor, for example, because your fallback is what's in the book. So, we'd love to have folks come on board and help others. And, you know, kids love it, really. When I got into the hobby myself, there was several kids in my group, and I couldn't get my own boys interested yet, but that'll hopefully come to be.
Don't bet on it. We tried to get our kids interested in golf, and that didn't work.
We have a merit badge for that.
Yeah, sure.
I will say, having gone through several merit badge books, that one of the neatest thing about the merit badge system is actually the books, because they are well written, uniformly. They are very well written to be very understandable, of course, by the youth. But as Jim was saying, there's a lot of areas maybe in a particular interest area that you aren't familiar with as a potential merit badge counselor. And you can read through that and maybe understand some things that you never understood before, or become aware of things that you didn't know about that area. So it is, those pamphlets, those booklets are really, really good, not only for the youth, but for the merit badge counselor as well. They'll make you feel a lot more confident about doing the job.
If I go to camp, do I get a uniform?
Well,
only kidding.
One of my staff members, then maybe.
Well, wear a ball cap at least or something.
Yeah.
I have the fire, just not the skill.
Okay.
And I will scout up one of those radio merit badge. Can I get actually buy that on Amazon or something? Or?
Yeah. Or you can go to scoutstuff.org.
Okay. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
Thank
All
you.
Right, KE7WTR, your hand is up. Looks like you are, somebody mentioned about first contact. Looks like he's somewhere in the heavens there.
I seem to have some kind of a divine intervention here, something to do with my background, which I haven't.
It doesn't work on every computer, so.
Yeah. Just a brief point for Jim. There is an organization that will give you a uniform and a room and board and everything while they teach you radio theory. It's called U.S. Army.
I'm a retired Air Force guy, and it isn't going to happen.
But we won't hold that against you.
Okay. All right.
I need just a real, real short one here for James. I need to get in touch with you offline or something about another organization. I belong to a sportsman's club in Everett, and we have been discussing getting some scouts involved in shooting.
Excellent. So,
but that's an offline item.
Yeah, we used to actually have a venturing crew focused on shooting sports in our region a number of years ago. That just kind of languished and fell by the wayside as the kids aged out and they didn't recruit new ones. So yeah, definitely.
Okay, are you on Facebook?
I am, but I'll tell you what, I'll put my contact information in the chat window. You can get it from there. Anyway, all right. Anybody else?
Any other? Nope. Okay. Well, thank you very much, James. Yeah. That's one merit badge I never did get. and I think it was probably due to lack of counselors, but...
possible. And Garth, if I may, how many of you were scouts as youth? Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. I know Jim mentioned it.
Girl Scouts. Yep.
Girls, ladies. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Any Eagle Scouts in the group?
Yep.
Excellent. Where did you earn?
Besides Tom.
No, I didn't make it. I moved when I was a second class scout and they didn't have any club there.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay. Well, your kids are.
Yeah.
Garth, where did you earn?
Maybe made up for it.
Some.
Jim.
That's okay. I was going to say I made it to Weeblo.
Yeah, I almost made it to Weeblo.
I was the den leader for Weeblos. Yes, yes.
I was an Eagle out of Troop 16 in Mukilteo.
Yeah, you still are an Eagle, sir. Don't forget.
Well, that's true. Yes,
and exactly. Troop 16 is going strong still. So.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we used to meet in the basement of the lighthouse keeper's quarters there at the Mukilteo Lighthouse. So. Nice.
Wow. That's yeah. Cool.
And then our scout leader changed, so we moved to the Presbyterian Church. So.
Yeah. KB7 GFL, are you an Eagle?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
no, he's just a school teacher.
No, hey, just about that. I was an explorer post 747. Can you guess what the special interest was?
Sweeping the floor. That's awesome. So aircraft development, eh?
Yes. This was in Fair Oaks, California. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and did you go into a career in aviation or?
Air Force.
The second Air
Aircraft
Force.
Aircraft mechanic. And then I flew for a number of years.
There you go. So, and because of your involvement in the Explorer program?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So awesome. All right. Sorry, Garth, go ahead.
No, no problem. Just wanted to thank you again. I mean, you're welcome to stay around if you want. We're just going to do some of our other regular business here. So let's see here. Next up, Bill, actually, do you have the minutes from last month?
No, I'm sitting here without those minutes. They're on another hard drive. Maybe if Kathy has a copy, she could
read them for me. Okay, I'll go ahead and read it.
Oh, thank you.
I got it right here. Okay. November 21st, virtual meeting minutes. Called to order 0900 by David, KB7GFL via Zoom. 17 members on Zoom. Webmaster, we had $349.18 in the bank at that time with $30 in the cash. Webmaster report, K7THY reported that the website has been modified to include a tab showing check-ins on the 6-meter net hosted by Bruce W7BCW. The location of the membership application form and the recruiting form was demonstrated. Repeater status and the net report, Bruce W7BCW reported that the repeater is continuing to work well on all three bands. He mapped out a strategy describing linking all three frequencies, thus providing more opportunities for contacts during the net. There was a lot of enthusiasm for this strategy. John AC7LC suggested that members check out the new Bofang 3-band handheld as a powerful yet inexpensive radio. There was also a general discussion of using the 220 band as it is an underutilized resource and may provide more contact opportunities. Net schedule is 1222 Bruce W7BCW and 1229 Kathy K7THY.
Yeah.
Old business, Kathy K7THY reports that the PayPal account will be activated soon, thus making dues and other payments possible online. Tom K8TOM reported that the nonprofit application has been submitted to the feds, but could take up to 6 weeks for processing. He added that PayPal charges a 2.9% plus a 30-cent fee per transaction. Jim KI7WXT suggested that a $1 be added to the dues to cover the fee. New business, Bruce W7BCW described a strategy for repeater site maintenance and upgrades for next spring. It includes moving the repeater inside the shelter and elaborating the antenna assembly. Two key features were discussed, eliminating the need to go on the water tower and enhanced propagation. This strategy to be studied during the winter and an action plan formulated. Holly offered appreciation for the help she received from tech support, our tech support. She now has connectivity to the net. Tech support was originally suggested by Sharon KJ7EZB. There was a vigorous discussion of the utilization of a drone or balloon to gain antenna elevation and antenna length. Both ideas were placed in a long-range planning status. Go to the order. Holly, KJ7KIU, suggested a plan to heighten amateur radio knowledge for students requiring science learning. She is an accelerated and accredited teacher. Her help in this area will be quite valuable. Jim, KI7WXT, offered assistance. John, AC7LC, reminded the meeting that our club was originally founded as a student awareness group. Adjournment, 9:45. That's it.
All right. Thank you. And speaking of Sharon, I saw her sneak in during James's presentation. So welcome, Sharon. let's see. So next up would be treasurer, and that Kathy again, or no, Bruce. Bruce.
We still have $349.18 in the bank account as of December 19th, today, 2020. We have $40 in petty cash. We're going to move that into the account probably next week. That's it.
Okay, thank you. And then now, Kathy, debt report.
I'm so sorry to hear my own voice. Okay. The web report, I think you guys, if you saw the video from last meeting, I screwed up and didn't have sound. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, there's that little explanation on that page. I will, in fact, go ahead and share that. Okay, so the meeting recorded those who spoke. Oh, that's what it was, not the entire group. So what I found out is if any of you guys do this, when you start one of our meetings, if it starts recording, if you are in the single pane picture of who you're seeing, you're not seeing all of our pictures on the screen, it will only record the single picture. And that is whoever is doing the speaking, it will record them, but it doesn't record the rest of the group. It's really nice to have the whole group in the picture all the time because it gives you stuff to watch when people are scratching their nose or whatever. So just make sure that happens if you're the one to hit record on the meeting so that it is showing, because I swapped it during the recording to all of it and it didn't work. It still records. So you have to start out with that multi-picture screen before you hit record. So just putting that out there for whoever might be doing that. So other than that, I did post something here about witness protocol that David KB7GFL sent. So if you want to check into that, that's a good PDF form to read. And I think that's all for just webmaster stuff. I do have, as far as things on the site, I do want to put out a couple ideas because I'm just always trying to, you know, improve the website. And as far as I'm concerned, improving the website does not mean just adding more links because that's ridiculous. So the training about the talking about the scouts trainings at schools and stuff, that's been an interest to me to try to reach kids levels so that they're well informed of emergencies, because you know a lot of times at home parents don't know how to, you know, what to bring out to their kids to understand in emergencies what is important and what isn't. So that was an idea of starting a page about scouting on our website. Another one is a page for Elmers. And since Sharon got, or since Holly got that great help with our Elmers, our tech support, it would be nice to have a page for people that want to talk directly to somebody, you know, like in an email, whatever, and get help on their radio needs also. So we could put a page together of those of you members that would offer, you know, we'd have a list of Elmers of what your specialty is, of your knowledge that you could help out on. And we could put that to where young members can fit, because we get people from all over the world on our website. And so for kids in, you know, in this country, whatever, that have questions, they can go directly to one of you guys. Also, I want to add options for member pages. So if you guys, because, you know, we're not at meetings, we're not sharing stuff about us in the radio world, whatever. So if you guys have things you specifically want to share about your knowledge and what your expertise is with radios, I can put a couple different templates together and give to you. You can build your own page. And I don't mean of you putting it all together. I just want to show you what the template would look like pictures here, whatever. You can put this, and to where you can fill this stuff in, and I'll put your page up on the web. They could click in the members page on you, and it would go to your page. Like a QRZ page, yeah. So that's another option. And again, I'm just trying to find ways to improve the site, build on it some to give visual for people that want to check us out constantly, because I'm getting emails all the time from people that love our site. So
I think you deserve a merit badge for that, Kathy.
Certainly a combination.
Thanks. It's fine. Well, like I said, I put that assembly together back years ago for all the schools, and I've also been in charge of 220 bus drivers, where I had to put assemblies on for them of different knowledge-based things. And so, yeah, I'm unfortunately in front of making people listen to me all the time.
I would help you. I would help you if you resurrect something. Now, that's where I can help a little bit. I'm a member of the Medical Reserve Corps. So not that I'm a medical person. I'm in logistics. I'm the person that would help move stuff around. But I took all the courses and things having to do with disaster preparedness and stuff and what have you. If you want somebody to help carry your material,
yeah,
or back you up at meetings or whatever, I will volunteer to do that. Something I can do for the club if you want.
Cool, thanks, Jim. That sounds great.
I'm there for you.
Okay, and all the rest of you too. I will expect all this help from everyone.
Bill, you have your hand up.
I'd like to second Jim's nomination for the merit badge. I think that's a great idea. And Jim, I'd be willing to pitch in on logistics. I've got some background in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, but will any work get done? Because you're just too funny in your comments there.
I'll calm him down. No.
Yeah. Well, you and Bill, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anyway, that's it.
All right. Well, let's see. How are our repeaters doing, Bruce?
The 70 centimeter repeater seems to still be working okay. I've got some extra mast that I can try and put more height to the antenna, but I haven't done that yet. That requires a little bit more work because I'm going to have to guy it somehow. The 6 meter repeater, several months ago was working fine, but maybe because we kept using it on Tuesday nights, we may have removed all the nice electrons from the receiver and it no longer is receiving. But it is transmitting still, so you can still hear an ID. I did stop off at the container a couple of weeks ago to drop something off, and I just did a quick cursory look at the repeater, a 6 meter repeater, and I didn't see anything that looked out of kilter. But then I really need to get in there and take a closer look and see what's going on. And maybe I'll get a chance this coming week to go down there and take a quick look, or take my couple of tools and some test equipment and see what's going on. The 2 meter link is working, and I need to meet up with Eric at the DEM building there in Snohomish in Everett to pick up that 220 repeater, an old ICOM repeater, and see if we can't get that working. I still have to build or buy some 220 megahertz duplexer for it. I'm actually thinking of trying to make some, but anyway, that's the status. Next month, I would like to discuss some more of getting the coax antenna lines from the current 70 centimeter and 2 meter antennas down to the container. I need to discuss something with Mike, the supervisor of the waterworks, see if I can't get the city of Salton to install a small telephone pole next to our repeater container. That would be an attachment point for the coaxes coming from the water tower or water tank to the container. And that would be a good attachment point. Maybe even get talk to Chris there, N7KDM, since he worked for Comcast for a while, about what we really need to do to, do we really need to stretch a steel cable from that water tank to the telephone pole to for our coaxes to hang on, or can we just attach the coaxes? Anyway, that's something to discuss later next month. Start making some plans to get those cables put in or purchase them and get them put in. I think we can, we have a preamp already for the 70 centimeter side. As far as the PA goes and the higher power duplexer, I think Eric said that one of the members, DEM members, has a duplexer, higher power duplexer that we can use if once we put an external PA on it to compensate for the loss that we're going to see through the extra length of the transmission line. We have a 2 meter preamp and power amplifier, a linear amplifier that Robbie left, and I still need to dig that out and see if it's still working. If it is, that will take care of the 2 meter link side. And I guess that's about it for now. Oh,
except there's something.
Oh yeah, make sure when you're on the net, when you're doing the net, before you announce anything, just go ahead and bring up the link first, because a lot of people may be listening to the link and waiting for that because they can't hear the 70 centimeter too well. Maybe they can hear the 2 meter better. And to bring up the link first and then go ahead and make your announcement. That's it.
And then, yeah, but to use the 2 meter, if you're not coming through,
well,
use the
2 meter. Well, yeah, I said this before. Yeah. Those that are having problems trying to connect through the 70 centimeter, try the 2 meter link.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might work better for you.
Because Dave Summer, we're not sure if he would come through better.
Yeah, even Bill, if you have a 2 meter radio and an outside antenna, try using the 2 meter link. See if you
I'm
can.
I'm going to do that.
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. How about Dave? Do you have the net report?
I do. Okay. I did an average net check-ins for the month of December so far. We've had 12.6 check-ins, almost 13 every week. And mentioning net, a couple things. First of all, if for some reason you cannot fulfill your net control duties, try to reach out and contact me right away, and we can make arrangements to have a substitute come on, even if it's last minute for whatever reason. Give us a shout, preferably me, and we can make arrangements. And at some time, I would like to solicit volunteers for net control duty for January 5th and the 12th.
I'll do the 5th, Dave.
I'll take the 12th.
Oh, okay, who is volunteering the 5th? Was that Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay. And who had the 12th?
Tom.
Tom, okay, thank you. And one more thing I'd like to ask Brad about field day this coming year, but we could address that in new business.
January 19th. Only 6 months to go.
Hey, David, don't we need January 19th? Because shouldn't we get through the next meeting?
We could do that too.
Yeah, because Ben will already have the Tuesday after the meeting planned too. That would be nice.
Brad, you're putting out a good signal. Why don't you try net control duty on the 19th?
I'm in a council meeting.
Oh boy.
So I'm always, which is nice now that there are, I get to be home during council meetings. So I'm listening to both at the same time and pop into the net when.
Now that's original. That's good. Yeah.
You could step it up and try running a net while you're in a council meeting.
Yeah, there you go. Come on. Challenge yourself.
Yeah, just duck out. I could do the 19th.
I could also do the 19th if you feel overburdened.
Well, any of us can too. So that's a great point there, Sharon.
I'm good. I already wrote my name down, Sharon. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be queuing up for the next round then.
Awesome. All right. Let's see. I think that covers most of our officer reports. Do we have any old business? No? Sounds like we'll move on to new business then.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
What is it? FP50?
Yeah. Did you have something, Bruce, or?
No,
sorry. We're reading messages here.
Oh, okay.
James is laughing.
Well, I saw your hand up, dude.
Yes. I just want to ask Brad. Brad, what's it looking like for the field day time period? Are there going to be other activities like we've had in the past? And I assume that we already have Lake Tai Park in reserve.
Actually, no, because the city is not taking any reservations at the moment, since there are no gatherings allowed in the parks.
Okay.
If COVID gets better, they want to do the triathlon again, you know, so that's still out there, which is usually the same weekend of field day or the one before or after, depending on how things work out. So we're kind of, we're there. If things relax, you know, I have our name in line if things relax.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question.
Yeah.
How does our field day date sync or jive with the Scouts field day?
So there is no Scouts field day?
You mentioned there's an annual event.
I think that was just in relation.
Annual event, and we were talking about this the other night. If we can promote the hobby from our end, so to speak, and generate interest across many realms there, and then we could bring or have Scouts come to whatever setup you guys have.
Have them be involved in our field day, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I guess I was thinking of, and at your field day, us. See, this is easy for me to do because it's going to be other people. So I have this suggestion: us setting up something at your day.
Well, that would be probably for Jamboree on the Air, which is like you said in October. Yeah.
But and that can be done really anywhere. I mean, it's just like it's a field day event. In the past, I brought folks up to Fire Mountain in Skagit County, and we set up there because we also had a concurring event at that camp. And that I'm not sure what the schedule looks like, you know, 10 months out yet. So, but we'd certainly welcome that opportunity if it presents itself. And if not, then maybe something locally. So.
That'd be neat to have a station set up at Fire Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. And Garth, it sounded like Jim was volunteering for that. So if everybody agrees, raise your hand.
He's carrying the radios, right?
It sounds like logistics to me. I'm there, me and Bill.
Well, I'm sure Fire Mountain's changed a lot since the last time I was there. But
it has actually changed quite a bit. The council, let's see, how do we put this? So Scouting in Snohomish County has been around for over 100 years. The first scout group was actually sponsored by a Rotary Club in Everett. And they originally had a camp, acquired a camp location just outside of Lake Stevens called Camp Sevenich. Does anybody remember that?
Yep.
I want to date anybody there. That was the Evergreen Area Council's camp. And then when they, there was a adjoining council north of us, and they had a camp up out of Silver Lake, on Silver Lake in Whatcom County, near Evergreen. And then the two councils merged way back when, and so they were blessed to have two camps. Fire Mountain will celebrate 50 years in 2022, so they're already ramping up for that. Camp Sevenich was eventually sold and became a Girl Scout camp for a while. And now it is a private recreation camping club called Lake Connor Park. And it's active and going strong. And a lot of folks from our area have plots out there. So, but Fire Mountain has really changed. The council eventually sold the one Black Mountain a few years ago. They've really upgraded Fire Mountain. So we'd certainly love to have you come out and take a visit, and maybe we can set that up. Maybe do that when we get back meeting in person. We could do a field trip meeting up there on a Saturday. So
as long as there's not overnight camping.
Glamping, you mean?
Well, yeah. You have a bed there, Jim. Just bring it with you.
forget that. That's for the Army.
What, the bed? No, I'm kidding.
Sleeping on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, they have platforms, you know, for
We Air Force types have air conditioned vans.
Actually, there is staff housing there, and I'm just kind of brainstorming in my own mind about the opportunities that, you know, maybe if we did an overnight trip, you'd have sort of nice accommodations. Go ahead, Bill.
Will there be a barbecue?
Oh, there you go. Now we're getting into the real important parts of this planning.
Logistics. Does anybody know the 13th point of the Scout Law?
Food?
Bring food?
Yeah, a scout is hungry. Sorry, I didn't mean to comment on that.
One more.
That's a given.
Okay, go, right. Bill.
Yeah, Napoleon Bonaparte said Boy Scouts travels on its stomach.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, James, I had a question for you. I have operated in the past on Jamboree on the Air with a couple, three scouts coming over from the local scout troop. Is it necessary? Of course, I was in scouts at that point with youth. YPT, youth protection training. Is that necessary? Let's say Brad or one of the other people here who are not affiliated with scouts wanted to participate in a JOTA. Would they need to YPT or do any other procedure before they invited some scouts over to participate on the radio?
So that's an excellent question, Tom. Thank you. So the initial answer is no. Because the scouts would be coming with other adults, and then they'd be staying there at the station, and
So as long as you have one-on-one covered, you're okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any other new business?
I do want to make, actually, James, if you find something really good with the scouts too that you're wanting to pass along that you think would go good with us with the radio amateur world, feel free to email. I'll give you an email address, or just send it to the webmaster or through our website, and I'll certainly post it on the site, you know. So if you have stuff that you think would go good for us or to share on our site, feel free to send that to me and I'll put that on there.
Okay.
How about a youth spot on the website, Kathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
And that would include the scouts and any other youth.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds great. Okay. Write that down.
All right. Well, I've got something actually for good of the order. For that tower that we took down, the gal got back to me and actually found the rotor controller, which is nice. But she also had some other stuff. She had a Drake R4 receiver that I don't have any use for. So I was going to try and sell it and give some of the proceeds to the club. I don't know if anybody's interested or knows how much those things are worth. I'll probably have to do some research, but.
Yeah, do research.
Yeah. I don't know if it even works, so I should probably test that out too. But
it is a vacuum tube rig.
Yeah.
Something that some people like the antique. That's a antique now. I can't remember. I remember them when I was first in ham radio. So it's kind of an antique. Every once in a while, I see them come up on QRZ swap meet page. And I think off the top of my head, they'll get $200 or $300 for them if they're in working order.
So that's a.
Plug I'll it have in, to test see that if out. There's no smoke, it's probably good.
Yeah, David.
Well, I was going to mention with an older rig like that and the capacitors and stuff, isn't there a sequence you go through powering it up at a low power and increasing the power slowly to make sure that you don't get a burnout right away?
Well, it's just a receiver, so it shouldn't be, you get a lot of the smoke with the transmit side of things, but.
What I was thinking of is the power supply for the receiver, that's got filter capacitors and stuff.
It might be a built-in power supply.
Yeah, I'll have to, like I said, I don't know much about it except that it's, it's tubes and it's a receiver. So I'll research it and I'll offer it up for anybody here who wants it. But if not, I'll probably try and sell it elsewhere. But, so cool. Anybody else have something good to the order? Brad. There you are.
For those of you who do not, or for those of you who do have access to the Monroe Coordination Center, we are changing our entry system. So sometime in January, your little beep cards that go beep will not work. So next time you're down there, sometime in January, I'll get the new cards for you. They'll be laying on the counter. So when you show up on a Tuesday, they'll be there and you can take them and bring both of your cards with you for a while until you figure out which one works. And if you happen to get there when it does not work, hopefully I will have during the transition period, I'll have the door unlocked on Tuesday so you can get in even if you haven't picked up your card yet. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Cool. Last call. Anybody else have something?
What about the code at the door itself that, into the radio room, Brad?
That's staying the same.
Okay.
I just want to say, because we're talking with James here now about dropping off a radio, I just want to say to anybody, if you need to drop things off to us, just to let you know, because Sultan Basin Road being shut down, you got to drive out to Startup to get onto Kellogg Lake Road, moving around to get to us. And then come down Sultan Basin Road.
You're affected by that, huh?
Yep. Yeah, great plan. We're on the other side. Planning.
Yeah. Oh, man. Stupid counting planning, yeah.
For how long?
Till mid-January.
8th of January.
Stupid beggars.
So, going to the post office was 7 minutes for us. Now it's like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You ever start shopping with a heavy lift drone?
Yeah,
there you go. That'd be nice.
Well, you're the Air Force guy. Maybe you have to drop them supplies.
There we go.
Don't get me started.
Yep.
And Jim, you had your hand up again, or?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I did. Well, I don't know what that's about. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that you could even do that.
Yeah, there's a raised hand, yeah.
Where's that?
All right.
It's down the lower right-hand side in the participants block.
Reactions?
Yeah.
Participants. Huh. Okay.
See that?
You have to open the participant window.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clapping and that's thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's in the lower right-hand side. It's in print.
Okay. Okay.
Still it's different from the reactions.
Okay.
All right. Well, I believe it's time to end. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Several. And second. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Sounds
thank you.
Good.
Thank
we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, James.
Thank you, James.
So much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Thanks for setting it up. See you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Looking forward to working cooperatively in the future.
Yeah. I was holding up earlier. I had my my old shoulder patch from the Evergreen Area Council. So.
Oh,
it is an old one.
Yeah.
Hey, James, stay with me for a second here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't get your info, your contact info. I didn't see it on the screen.
It's in the chat window.
I'm sorry?
I put it in the chat window.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you click on chat in the bottom bar, it should come up.
And then you'll have to probably scroll up.
Yeah.
Okay, scrolling. Got it. Okay,
Jade Monroe.
You.
Yep.
Our club will be in touch with you.
Yes, sir.
Yep. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to end for all, or you guys, anyone need to stay on?
No. We're good. All right.
Okay. Bye. Take care, everybody. You guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.